ओम नमः भगवते वासुदेवायो ओम नमो भागवते वासुदेवायो Shradham.
Well, today it's Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 3, Text 26. Discussion between the Yogendras and King Nimi. Liberation from illusory energy. Prabhupada is speaking. Okay, Shradham. Bhagavate Shastre Nindam Anyatra Chyapi Hi Mano Vak Karma Dandam Cha Satyam Sama Namo Api Shradham Bhagavate Shastre Nindam Anyatra Chyapi Mano Vakkarma Dandam Cha Satyam Samadamo Api Radham Bhagavate Shastre Nindam Manyatra Chappihi Mano Vakkarma Dandam Cha Satyam Samadamo Api
Sadam Bhagavate Shastre Nam Tatapi Lokchakarma Dandam Cha Satyam Samadamo Api Sadam Bhagavate Shastre Nindam Anyatra Chyapi Bahuvakkarma Dandam Cha
Mothers? Radham, faith, Bhagavate, related to the Supreme Lord, Shastre, in scripture, anindam, not blaspheming, anyatra, others, cha, also, apihi, indeed, mana, of the mind, vak, speech, karma, and one's activities, nandam, strict control, cha, and satyam, truthfulness, sama, self-control of the mind, dhammo, and of the external senses, api, also, translation, one should have firm faith that he will achieve all success in life by following those scriptures that describe the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. At the same time, one should avoid blaspheming other scriptures. One should rigidly control his mind, speech, and bodily activities. Always speak the truth and bring the mind and the senses under full control. Purport by His Holiness Vidyananda Goswami Maharaj. The definition of Shraddha, or faith, is given as follows in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22:62. Shraddha sabde vishvasa kahe surida nischaya. Shraddha sabde vishvasa kahe surida nischaya. Krishna bhakti kele sarva kama kritakaya. By rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith favorable to the discharge of devotional service is called Shraddha. Thus a devotee should be confident that by carrying out the injunctions of the Bhagavad Shastra or Vedic literature, that directly rather than indirectly describe devotional services to the Supreme Person of the Godhead, one will easily achieve all knowledge and the perfection of life. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, mano va kayo dandam, or strict control of the mind, speech, and bodily activities means madasavachika kayika vikarmarahityam. That is, one should rigidly abandon all simple activities with his mind, speech, and body. As Srila Prabhupada has repeatedly pointed out, sense control does not mean stopping sensory activities, thus becoming like a dead body, but rather engaging one's mental, vocal, and bodily activities in the service of Krishna. Sri Rupa Goswami has stated, Iha yasya hare dasya kalmanam nasagira dikhilaswapi abhastaso jivan mukta sa uchite. A person acting in Krishna consciousness in the service of Krishna with his mind, body, and intelligence and words is a liberated person, even within the material world, although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2 verse 187. Thus, one can achieve virkama rahityam, or freedom from unauthorized simple activities, by engaging one's senses, mind, intelligence, and speech 24 hours daily in the service of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says that only those pious living entities who are vikarma rahita, completely free from sinful life, can achieve freedom from the illusionary duality of material nature, samatvam vanvam samgyagya. The Lord says, yesam tu antakatam, everybody know this one, say it together. Yesam tu antargatam papam yanam punya kamanam te dvandva moha nirmukta vrita vrata. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in this life, whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, and who are freed from the duality of delusion, engage themselves in my service with determination. Bhagavad Gita 7:28. In this purport to this verse, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada stated, those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position are mentioned in this verse. For those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing regulative principles of religion, who have acted piously and have conquered sinful reactions, can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then gradually they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. This elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees who can deliver one from delusion. So we'll stop here. There's another 3 or 4 pages of purport here, but I've been instructed to stop here. I think we have enough to keep us going here. Durga me parimenda syaskalat pate katimuhu swakvivayustadanena shantu shantu avalambanam mukta kroti vachalam sangapangastra parshadam. I just mention that because it says by glorifying, by remember the Lord, that even the dumb can become very eloquent. So I'm praying to Lord for that mercy, that I may not be stricken dumb, that I may have some relevance to what is spoken in the purport here and the sloka by the mercy of all the sages that are present. So we're talking about faith in the scriptures here. Well, this is the first line of the translation, that we will have all success in life by following the scriptures that delineate the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So somehow by the mercy of the Guru, which we've all stumbled on, it's very, very hard. Pramanda Brahmate Kona Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadapaya Bhakti Lata Bij, that we have been traversing this material universe on all the different planets as demigods, maybe as demons, as all different forms of life, and somehow or other we've all come here and we've got the mercy of the spiritual master. It says that actually lava matra, that even one moment's association with the spiritual master, and one can achieve all perfection. So by the mercy of the devotees that we've come across this Krishna consciousness, even though Srila Prabhupada began this Krishna consciousness movement, it was the disciples that he made and the disciples that they made that actually spread this movement, and by their association we've come to understand Krishna consciousness. And we're very lucky because we are given all these right shastras to study. We have been given the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Nectar of Devotion, all the different commentaries by all the parampara, and plus the voluminous writings of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, all talking about the wonderful rasa and the taste of love of Godhead through the process of chanting this wonderful Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna Mantra. I was just reading yesterday once again about Sanatan Goswami and his lovely verse that he left behind on the thatched hut in Jagannath Puri that belonged, or that him that he was staying with Haridas Thakur, and he just left this little palm leaf on the roof. And Lord Chaitanya couldn't stop glorifying Sanatan Goswami. And to all the associates, Lord Chaitanya would seem like he was speaking with five mouths when he started to glorify Sanatan Goswami. He was so attached to his devotee. And he came to the cottage, and they weren't there, they were taking a bath, but he saw the palm leaf and he read it and immediately became ecstatic. Ecstatic by reading it, but before reading it, he saw Sanatan Goswami's wonderful writing, the way he wrote so eloquently. And so he just said, these letters are like pearls. And then he read it out to Swarup Damodar, was it? He read that verse to Haridas. He read it to everybody, and Haridas also burst into ecstasy when he heard it, and it went like, I do not know how much nectar those two syllables, Krishna, have produced, because when one chants those holy names in the roof of his mouth, he desires many, many mouths. And when the holy name enters into the holes of the ears, then he desires millions of ears. And then when that holy name enters into the courtyard of the heart, it stills the mind and the senses become inert. So this wonderful chanting of Hare Krishna mantra is what has been left to us by the spiritual master with all these wonderful chastras. So here in the translation, here in this particular sloka, King Nimi, he's a very, very qualified king. I'm not familiar with this discourse because we haven't got to the 11th canto yet in all of our temples, but I know that King Nimi is very much attached to the Lord, and he's not attached to his body. Was it he that actually saved the pigeon from a crow? Was that King Nimi? And then the crow said, I need the hawk and I need my meal, so who's going to provide my meal for me? Is that King Nimi? No. Sibi. Ah. King Nimi also performed some sacrifices. So he was very eager to give everything up to the Lord, but he was a qualified king. He'd come from a really strong lineage of great devotees. And similarly, when we were discussing class yesterday at the Echo Village, we were speaking from the third canto, and Devahuti was receiving instructions from Kapila Dev. So similar instructions about steadying the senses, controlling the mind. So these people, very, very qualified, they've come through so many wonderful predecessors, and now they've taken birth due to their piety. Of course, Kapila Dev, he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because Kadama Muni and Devahuti were such great devotees. So when we read this, we can understand in that context that when they tell them one should rigidly control his mind, speech and bodily activities, always speak the truth and bring the mind and senses under full control, they say, yes, okay, that we can do. But fast forward to Kali Yuga, and here we all are. Somehow or other, as I said, Guru Kripa Shataprayam, we've come across the mercy of the spiritual master, and we're endeavouring very hard to please our spiritual master and to please our God brothers, and embroil ourselves in this process of Krishna consciousness. But then we don't have the piety, or most of us don't, some of us might, just like in the Prabhupada states, Vivekananda Maharaj quotes the Bhagavad Gita 7:28, where Prabhupada states that those eligible for elevation to the transcendental position, the mention, and only those who have passed their lives in practicing regular principle religion, who have acted piously in their previous lives and in this life. So, because we're born in this age of Kali Yuga, there is maybe a little bit of piety, but not much. Otherwise, we would not be here. We would not be in Kali Yuga. So, that's why actually Lord Chaitanya has come to give us this wonderful process of Krishna consciousness to deliver us, because Krishna always cares for his spirit soul. We're jiva mukta, we're souls, but we're bound in these bodies by our desires, birth after birth after birth. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Aham bija padaprita," that I'm the seed-giving father. So Krishna is like our father, and he is watching us perform our activities, just like we have the example of the bird, the parrot in the tree, and the other parrot is enjoying while the other parrot is watching. I have a vivid example of this because I come from Australia, and on our farm in Australia we have parrots, we have what is called cockatoos. I don't know if you have the cockatoos, sort of big parrot birds, white birds with black beaks, and they eat everything. So the cockatoos come in large numbers to our farm. We have 200 pecan nut trees, and at a certain time of year, just before the pecans become ripe, they all come swoop down and eat the green pecan nuts. That's okay, but then after the white cockatoos, we have the black cockatoos. And the black cockatoos are big birds, about three times as big as the white cockatoos, right? And of this very, very human cry, oh, oh, they're crying out like that. They have yellow crests. They're very sophisticated birds. And they eat the macadamia nuts. So we have macadamia nuts. They have such strong beaks that they put the macadamia nut and they crush it. And they also eat what's left of the pecan nuts. So I was watching them. And there's always only a couple. There's not 200. There's only two or three. So there was one big black cockatoo on the top of the tree, and he was watching like that. And the other black cockatoo was in the tree, and he was enjoying the tree so much, enjoying the nuts, that he was shaking the tree, flying from branch to branch, just enjoying to his full satisfaction. And he didn't have to worry about a thing, because he knew that the other cockatoo was watching out for him. If there was anything wrong, he would tell him. So I thought of that picture that is in the Bhagavad Gita about the living entity enjoying. So Krishna is watching us enjoy ourselves through so many lifetimes, this lifetime, that lifetime, but he's always there, and he's like the father, that he's wanting his son to come back. Actually, Krishna's got, he's got heaps and heaps of room. Sometimes we think that Krishna, because we're limited, we're thinking Krishna is limited, that maybe there is no room left for us in the spiritual world. Sometimes when we come to the temples here, like in Mayapur, I've just been to Mayapur, there is no room for the devotees. There are too many devotees in the temple, so there is no room. We have to push, make room, shove, and like that. So maybe it's like that in the spiritual world. But actually, Krishna is unlimited. Anadir adir govinda sarva karana karanam. That's who Prabhupada has given us. Ishvara parama Krishna. He's the supreme Ishvara, and he's created these planets, and there's plenty of room for everybody in the spiritual world, because Krishna is in our hearts, and Krishna can create room for us wherever we go. Well, if we want to go back to Krishna, then he has all the facilities. And it's just like actually when the father is wanting his son to come back, and he's calling him back, son, come back. And the son runs off on the swing and runs there, kicks a football, something like that. And he's still not ready to come back. So Krishna's, the father is waiting. So Krishna's waiting for us because he actually wants to reciprocate with us, because we're eternally bound to Krishna in our spiritual leelas. But we don't want to come back so quick. No, we're still enjoying the material world, pretty right. But when we become totally frustrated with this material world and we look around, Dad, Dad, where's Dad? I want to run back to Dad. So we're waiting for that frustration, and then it's said in the Bhagavad Gita that four types of people surrender unto Krishna, and certainly it's, one of those is the people who are in distress. So the distress, there's the seekers of knowledge that is there, but usually those who are in poverty need some material remuneration or material relief, or those who are totally in distress. And then there's the inquisitive mind. What's this all about? Why am I here? Three questions. What am I doing here? Why am I here? What is my purpose in life? Then those people will seek out Krishna. And then Krishna has sent Lord Chaitanya here for us in this age of Kali Yuga because he knows we do not have many good qualities. So he's made it easy. He's just given us wonderful, sublime chanting of his own holy name, which is no different. It's absolute. Krishna's name is paraphernalia. Everything with Krishna is absolute because it is on the transcendental platform. Transcendental means that there's no beginning and no end. That is why when we chant this holy name, that even if we chant once or twice, then we have actually begun our spiritual relationship, which can only go further because there is no beginning, end or taking away with transcendental. Not like in the material world where whatever we gain, we have to guard very carefully because all is lost. That is why it is so hard for us to actually completely absorb ourselves and listen to these instructions, rigidly control the mind, the speech, bodily activities, always speak the truth and bring the mind and senses under full control. It sounds wonderful. It sounds like it can really, it is doable until we go out into the material world. There's the three modes that are out there in the material world. And then we are faced with our past, our conditioning, and how we have to act, whether we have to act truthfully in this situation, whether we have to be nice to somebody. Just like, actually, one of the ways to make great advancement, of course, is to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and also to be very obliging to our God brothers and associate with our God brothers on a sublime level. I know here in Mumbai there are so many of you God brothers out here associating with each other so nicely. And on our farm, we have a farm, so we are a little bit more isolated. So sometimes everybody gets to know each other, and they know each other's faults. So he's like that, she never comes to Mangalati. He eats too much, or he takes the maha. You watch him, he's always taking the maha before anybody else can get it. That doesn't happen here, does it? No. You're very good, don't take the maha before you're supposed to. So, like that, oh, I can't stand him anymore, I'm not going to talk to him, I can't say hello. But you can't, you have to say Hare Krishna to everybody. There's a spirit soul, doesn't matter what the devotee is, it's Hare Krishna Prabhu, all glories to your service. So that is proper Vaishnava etiquette. There are other faults which sometimes we can address, sometimes we can't. There's good advice and bad advice that we can give, so sometimes we have to be very careful. And we always talk to some Prabhu who is appointed to be in charge of that situation. Look, Prabhu, I have a problem with this situation. This devotee is performing this activity which is not actually correct. So then we leave it to that devotee to do. But actually we leave it to Krishna, because our goal is to become all of these qualities. So how do we do that? Rupa Goswami here is giving us the answer. Iha yasya hare dasya karmana manasa gira nikalasya pyapasto jiva mukta sa uchite. So if we act on that platform of Krishna consciousness in the service of Krishna with our body, mind, intelligence and words, then we're on the liberated platform. Brahma Buddha Prasannatma Nasochiti Nakankshati. Even with the material world, so we may be engaged in even though he may be engaged in so many material activities. Because these material activities are there, and Krishna consciousness defeats that material mind, because in the material world, everybody is fearing for their situation. Why? Because they're attached to their body and all their possessions, and all they have to defend that is their mind. So with their mind, they have to make progress in this material world. In the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, it said that the living entity is struggling very hard with this material energy. Why are we struggling? Because ultimately there is birth, old age, dwindling disease and death, right? So that is a very fearful situation. So everybody is afraid. There are so many things that we are all afraid of. We just search within ourselves. We see we're afraid of getting old. We're afraid that we're not popular, or that so many different fears, that we don't have enough to support our family, and that our friends are sick, or I'm going to get sick. We just think about, there are so many fears. If we stop, then this biome, this fear. I know when I was brought up, my mother was totally in fear. Don't go out there, you'll get robbed. Someone will rob you, like that. Wear a coat, you'll get a cold, you'll get sick. So every day I was faced with this barrage of fears. Don't stand too close to that wall, it might fall down. Right, so barrage with fears. So this is our conditioning. We are very, very fearful. But Bhayam, we pray to Lord Nisringadev, Bhayam Abhayam Atmanisti Bhuya Om Shrom, that Lord Nisringadev vanquishes all fears. And simply the chanting of the Lord's holy names, Hare and Krishna, is compared to like clapping of the hands, and all the birds of sinful activities fly away, all the material inebrieties go away. So on this process of Krishna consciousness, we can conquer our fears. Because why? We're on the Brahma Buddha platform. These fears do not matter. Actually, what really matters is the association of the devotees and association and the following instructions of the spiritual master. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays that, may I become an ant in my next life in the association of devotees rather than take birth in a family of wealthy materialists. So the associated devotees is so much important. So therefore we are studying all the Vedas. We're studying the Vedas that are pertaining to the love of a Godhead. Outside of that, just like in the translation, it is mentioned here, one should have, by following those scriptures that describe the glorious Supreme Person of Godhead, at the same time one should avoid blaspheming other scriptures. So we have all the different Vedas. We have the Rig, Sama, the Yaju, Atharva Veda, and then we have the Upanishads, we have the Puranas, we have the Shrutis and the Smritis. There are so many different Vedas, but most of those Vedas deal with the three modes of material nature and how one can enjoy in this material universe. So even though we understand that they're there, we don't denigrate them, because they're also a part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they were written by Srila Vyasadeva. So what we focus on is the Srimad Bhagavatam, because that is the spotless Purana that is always that we need to give us that full realization. There may be some sort of adjunctive Vedas like the science of Dhanvantari, the science of medicine. What's the Veda? Dhanu Veda. Ayurveda, of course. I just went to the Ayurvedic doctor yesterday. How could I forget? Very, very talented, very nice person, Vallabha. Very nice doctor in the Echo Village. So Ayurveda we can study. And there are so many other different Vedas related to other rituals that might be useful for installation of the deities or marriage ceremonies or all that. But they're all supplementary shastras. We only really need to understand what is there in the Bhagavad Gita. And then we've also been given the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which is also the cream of all the Vedic literatures, because it talks about the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And he is the hidden incarnation, so he is not mentioned in the Vedas, only in some different parts that the Lord will incarnate in the age of Kali Yuga. So this is our boon that we have. So this is the process of our spiritual realization, that through the process of devotional service we automatically develop that quality where we become, we control our mind, because we are so absorbed in devotional service that we don't have time to actually think of other things that are pertaining in this material world. But the problem is that we do have to go out into the material world and associate. So here it says we don't become like stone. Right? Prabhupada says we don't become... We actually, we are devotees. We're full of bliss energy, and we are spreading this shakti to everybody else. How else would we have joined if someone had come to us and given us this Krishna consciousness? So therefore we associate, just like I was reading about Sanatan Goswami, that he was so popular, he was called the King of Vrindavan, right? Because why? He would go and beg in every door for his prasadam. He'd take one roti and people invite him in and ask him to give instructions. And then he would know everybody in the village, and they would all come up to him, Sanatanji, Hare Krishna. And he would listen to their problems. He would hear all their problems and give them advice, and he would not go away and say, oh no, this is Krishna consciousness, not Krishna consciousness, I can't hear this. He would listen to their problems. And so then when he left the village to go to another village, they would all be crying because of separation from such a wonderful devotee. And he would be crying also, and he would say, oh, I will stay another day or so. And then eventually leave for the next village. And then when you get to the next village, the people would be crying, Sadatan's here. They would be weeping tears of ecstasy. So this is the nature of a devotee that is popular with everybody. Just we sing in the prayers to the six Goswamis, that Sanatan Goswami was popular with the devotees and with the ruffians alike. Everybody liked him. So we also give our association, but we don't take that association. So this is a very important thing, that we can go and we can merge with other people. Just like the other week, I may, if I may be so bold as to tell a story here, I was worshipping the deities on a Friday night at the farm, and I was in my robes and chada and tilak, looking very, very pukka. And there was a pizza night at the yoga village, because we have a YTT course in the same manner as they have a new Govardhan in Govardhan. Actually, new Govardhan and Govardhan are very similar. We are very similar in what we do as to what happens on Govardhan. So kindred spirits. So we have a YTT course, and they have a karaoke night and pizza. The pizza, of course, is offered to Prabhupada. And I thought, I would like a piece of pizza. And that was one motivation. But the other motivation is there are so many devotees there, but they have a karaoke night, so everybody gets up and sings different songs and kami songs. And that's just something that they do down at the village. So I thought, I don't really want to hear that, but I should go, just for association to other people, right? So I went down there, and I had my pizza, and I'm sitting down. I'm the only guy that's dressed in a dhoti and a kurta, and everybody else has got casual clothes on, and they're grooving away to the music. And I'm sort of eating my pizza and I'm sort of going like that, trying to be a part of the scene, you know, eating the pizza and just going like that. And this one person gets up and he said, I'm going to sing this song now. Somebody asked me to sing a song. It may be offensive to the brahmacharis. That was nice that he mentioned that because it's a love song. So I thought, oh, well, what am I in for? So I was still eating my pizza and he sing this love song, how he's in love with his partner on a very special night, and they had a special time on this night. And that was very nice. And I ate my pizza and I was there and I thought, I must be some benefit out of this. I must be able to get something out of this, right? So then I was thinking when I went home, I was thinking about this soul. And I was thinking that actually, Krishna says, yeah, Auntie Kala, what's that sloka about at the time? 4-9? Auntie Kala Mamiva. Say it, did you say it? So, at the time of death, one who remembers me attains my abode. So, whatever state of mind one has at the time of death, that consciousness he achieves. So I was thinking, here's this love song, here's this person at the time of death, he wrote this song. And what is his claim to fame? That he's singing this song in front of all these people, but he had his eyes shut, he was English, and for all intents and purposes, he was thinking, I'm singing this at Albert Hall, I'm giving my best shot, and he's riding away and trying his best shot. So I'm thinking at the time of death, what is he going to be doing? He's going to be thinking, I wrote this song, it was such a nice moment. So in his next life, he's going to be singing this song to his partner. Coo-coo, coo-coo. He'll be a pigeon on the roof of Albert Hall in London. So I was thinking like that. It's very important what you sing about. Best you sing about Krishna. So, but it was, that was only a small period. Then after that, all the devotees, they had this very, very massive kirtan, chanting the holy names, because these people are innocent. Sometimes they sing these songs out of joy and out of love because they don't know any different. They're just learning. And so that's why they're on the farm. They learn a little bit, you give them the association, oh, that's very nice. Now let us sing Hare Krishna. And they had this fantastic kirtan for 1 hour, and they're all dancing and chanting way more than they were just sort of bopping along with the music. It was beautiful, and that devotee became, that person who was singing, actually I saw him, he came to Mangaladi a couple of days later. So this is the potency of Krishna within the heart. You can sing that same song again and again and again. But then after a while that song, oh no, I don't want to hear it, no, don't sing it anymore. Just like we have some song on the radio, sometimes you turn the radio on, you hear Bollywood, it's all the same to me, I cannot understand it, but I can imagine that some famous singer is singing something, oh this is such a nice tune, play it again, sure. And you want to hear it again, yeah, alright, play it again. Play it again, oh, not really, no, I'll play it again, oh no, I'll play it again. Not again, no, I'll play it again, I really like it. No, please don't play it, please, no, I can't. It's like that. So, as we get sick of it, because it's material, it is just very, very phantasmagorial. It's just illusion that we think we like it. But what we are really attached to is that eternal aspect of ourselves, because on the transcendental platform, we never, ever, ever actually lose anything, and it is ever fresh, sat chit ananda. And that is the nature of devotional service. And how do we really experience the ecstasy of devotional service? By preaching it to others, however we can, whatever we do. That if we start talking about Krishna, that our heart becomes so gladdened within ourselves. And this is how we actually become firm and fixed in this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, that if we are preaching it, then we have to act it also. So therefore, as devotees, just simply, we automatically come to that platform of control of the mind, speech and bodily activities by performing this ninefold process of devotional service and preaching it to everybody else out there. So what is not recommended is Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati mentions this as being very, very important. is that you don't get involved in any other altruistic activities, just like, for instance, I'm just trying to, so you don't get involved in activities like material that seem to be activities for the benefit of man, like ahimsa. He mentioned ahimsa because actually ahimsa, although it is good, it is non-violent, therefore it is still not propagating the glory of the Lord. Just with ahimsa in itself, it's like a Buddhist philosophy. And you look at it, even though the word is very fine, or ahimsa, that is very good, but still the Buddhists themselves, what are they doing? They are still eating meat, you know, and where is the ahimsa in that, that all these living entities are feeling, feeling the violence that is being perpetrated on them? And then of course, in that philosophy also, there is that, what's it, vipassana. Has everybody experienced a vipassana? That, that's a very big thing in the West, that after they come to the village and chant Hare Krishna, oh, I'm going on vipassana now, I'm going to say nothing, I'm going to be silent for 10 days, 10-day vipassana. And everybody says, oh, that's really, really good. And I just used to listen, and I thought, oh, vipassana, I never used to say anything, but now I'm becoming more and more mad. I became really mad when one person said, oh, this person over there, he's done a vipassana for 6 months. For 6 months he didn't say anything. And the other person said, oh, he must be a self-realized soul by now. I go, that's it, I've had it. And then we had one lady who joined, just in the whooping program. She heard the philosophy, she liked the philosophy, she tried chanting, she put a sari on, and all of a sudden she was a devotee, just like within 3 days. It's just punya karma. And then she came up to me and she said, actually in 5 days' time I was booked to go and do a vipassana, an advanced vipassana at the Buddhist Center, but you know what? I'm not going because it's Mayavadi philosophy. I go, yes, that's right, congratulations. I felt like my life was a success. So when I hear the word vipassana, it's also Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, nirvisesa sunyavadi, kill that atheistic demonic mentality. So no, don't go and do vipassana. That is the wrong path. Because vipassana, they may experience a little bit of joy through the performance of austerity. So sometimes when people perform austerity, they feel a little bit of pleasure because there's something that you've achieved within yourself, and you mistakenly think that is the path I want to go down. But Srila Prabhupada explains that actually impersonalism doesn't work because there is no way. Actually, he says it very succinctly in the third chapter, in the third canto, chapter 26, verse 13, he says that no one can focus on the impersonal because the mind is not possible. That is not how you control the mind. So all this is bogus. So therefore we actually understand what is bogus and what is not bogus, and we can preach very strongly against it. Just also on this point of ahimsa is veganism. This is a sort of new form of ahimsa, and that is very confusing because although it's very nice that people do not want to harm any living entities, they will not drink milk, and they will shun Krishna's prasadam. So that is actually offensive also. So while it is a very, on the surface it is very noble cause, it is still a very material cause, and we don't become confused by that, because in the West veganism is so popular, and we do service it, just like in our restaurants we cater for vegans, and if somebody is a vegan at Yoga Village we give them vegan food. Why do we do that? Because any living entity that comes to a temple, any living entity that comes to a Grihastha's household should be fed sumptuously. So if they don't want something, okay, what else do you want? That is the Vaishnav tradition, we do that. But we do not agree with their philosophy, actually, because veganism is actually denying the fact that Krishna's cows give milk and they're in the mode of goodness. So we have to actually understand where we stand, what our stance is, and our stance is that what Krishna wants, that we will give to Krishna, and that way we will achieve state of Brahma Bhuta that we're all striving for, and that is the duty of all of us to go back to God in this material life and go back to Krishna. He's waiting for us. He's waiting to associate with us. Thank you very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any questions or comments? That means none of you understood my accent, is that right? All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.